Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Patrick Maloney, we're in the middle of a huge series of foreign policy debates, one of which is over what are we going to do about ISIL or ISIS or IS or thugs or whoever they are, and are we going to go put boots on the ground again in order to stop these people who the president says should be stopped? What's your view?
Well, I voted against what the president was asking for, and I'll tell you why. I don't think I've seen a plan yet that makes sense to me, and I do not want our kids involved in another civil war in the Middle East. I'm not saying we shouldn't protect our citizens. I'm not saying we shouldn't use every tool in our kit to capture and kill or bring to justice the people who hurt our citizens, Americans. I want to stay focused on our national security goals, not somebody else's. And I am not convinced that the president has a plan that will work. I don't know what the commitments of the other countries are yet. We have big questions to ask around what kind of weapons we're going to give these rebels, whose hands they're going to get into, where are these rebels, what other countries are pitching in here, where are the Turks, where are the Saudis, where is Qatar? You know, these are critical elements of this strategy. And by the way, the American taxpayer has already spent $24 billion training up 900,000 Iraqi security personnel. I'd like to see them in the fight before we start sending Americans back in there. And I believe we can use airstrikes intelligently and selectively. We can use other remote assets like cruise missiles. We can use drones. We can use special forces where needed to safeguard ourselves, stop threats to the homeland, capture or kill anybody who's hurting our citizens. But we should not get ourselves involved in the Syrian civil war.
So do you see this as a slippery slope, which is step one? I mean, that's what everybody's worried about, right?
Look, the problem with what we're doing is I have not heard a clear military objective. I don't know if we have the means to achieve that objective, and I don't know what our exit strategy is, and I'm pretty sure the American people haven't been enrolled in this plan, and so there's a lot of confusion out there. And I think that's a dangerous mix of factors. This is what we learned in other difficult entanglements from Vietnam on down, which is that you need to commit the country before you commit the troops. You need to have a clear goal, the means to achieve it, and you need to know how to get out. And I haven't seen that yet in this plan, and it makes me very worried.
President Obama's numbers are not particularly good right now. You're a Democrat running for office. Does that hurt you in any way?
Well, look, I don't know. I mean, I think that what I hope is that people judge me on my record. I hope people realize that I am the seventh most independent Democrat in my party out of 200. I'm number seven. I've been ranked by independent groups as the 15th most independent member of Congress out of everybody. That's the top 3%. All of this legislation I told you about, 13 bills I've passed through the House of Representatives, pretty good record for a freshman in the minority. They're all bipartisan. If you look at the work I'm doing to stop these energy price hikes with Chris Gibson or Lyme disease legislation that I got passed working across the aisle, my legislation to lower these disability claim wait times for our veterans, that's bipartisan legislation. You know, I have a record. I'm walking the walk. And I think that's why we're doing well, and I think that's why I got elected in the first place. You know, I heard it. People are sick of all this game playing and nonsense. They were sick of Nan Hayworth's Tea Party ideology and all this radical stuff that just didn't have anything to do with making people's lives better here in the Hudson Valley. And they wanted somebody to go down there and cooperate with people, listen to people, get things done. And that's been the North Star I've been following since I got there.
So you work across the aisle. I got a letter just this morning, an email saying, why don't you ask the congressman whether he endorses Republicans like Bill Larkin? What's the answer to that one?
Well, I've been working very closely with Senator Larkin, and I stopped by his campaign announcement the other day to show that support. You know, he and I don't agree on everything, but we are working together to help our vets. We're working to help that Purple Heart Hall of Honor in New Windsor expand and honor our veterans the way it should. He and I worked together to change state law to double the size of the hospice center over here as well. He and I have been working together to help on things like the Forge Hill Road Bridge to get that open again. So, you know, I don't think there's a Democratic or Republican way to get a bridge open or to help people in hospice care or to honor our vets. And it's my job to work with the other elected officials that the voters have sent to the State House or to Congress. And there'll be time enough to, you know, play politics during a campaign. We're in a campaign season now. That's fine. I have no problem with an election and giving people a choice. I just think it's my job to work with people. And I've worked very closely with people like Senator Larkin and other Republicans at the town level, at the county level. I think that's my job. I think that that's what people hired me to do.
Tell me about casinos, because I think everybody's interested in that. Do you have any hope that they really will do as advertised?
I think the devil's in the details with casinos. I think that if it's part of a comprehensive economic development strategy, it can be a good thing. It, you know, I'm very eager to get jobs on, you know, hammers on the job, excuse me. I'm very interested to see our building trades and our construction workers, you know, on the job. That's critical. But I'm also concerned about the overall economic development model. I think that if it's done properly, where it's integrated with entertainment and shopping, with other leisure activities, if it can be part of revitalizing our small cities like Poughkeepsie and Newburgh, getting Stewart Airport where it should be, then it can be a good thing and I'll support it. But you got to watch this thing like a hawk because there are other examples out there where it didn't go so well.
Exactly. We're looking at Atlantic City. We're looking at decreased revenues in Connecticut. Maybe this is too much hype, and maybe it takes advantage of the poorest people in this country, getting them to gamble with stuff they don't have.
You know, look, again, I think there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, just like everything else. I don't think anybody ought to see it as a silver bullet. We've got a lot of assets going for us here in the Hudson Valley. We have a great capacity to build things again, to have real manufacturing jobs for our folks. We can rebuild the port here. We can focus on distribution. We have an extraordinary agricultural sector here in the Hudson Valley. We have a very exciting food and beverage industry, a lot of little distilleries. We have great tourism opportunities. We have a fantastic history in the arts, visual arts, but all kinds of arts beyond that. There are so many ways we can create wealth, grow this economy, and preserve our quality of life. You know, gaming might be part of it, but it should just be part of it. And how it's done and where it's done is critical.
Okay, I want to ask you one question that it should not last more than a minute because that's all we've really got. And that is, how have we done on our storm recovery efforts because we got so walloped the last time?
We did. So when I took office, Congress was still squabbling about whether to help after Hurricane Sandy, which was a disgrace. So among the ridiculous things the last Congress did was they gummed up the works on Sandy relief. We got that passed. Most importantly, made sure it applied to the other storms we were still digging out from, like Irene and Lee, which in parts of this part of the world, you know, really were worse than Sandy. And we did that. And to date, my office has been chasing about $330 million of disaster relief funds. We've secured $169 million to date, working with 48 different communities on 123 specific requests. I've met multiple times with the governor's senior people on this. We've been making announcements recently, everything from you know, rebuilding the Forge Hill Road Bridge, as I mentioned before, to hardening assets, burying wires, moving generators, doing drainage, clearing out drainage areas. We brought back $12 million, $3 million each for four different communities to help with things like flood control, mitigation projects. This is critical work, and I believe in it, and I have been working very hard on it. You will recall that my predecessor, Nan Hayworth, decided that we should cut the budget before we passed disaster relief, and that was her position, was that we had to have budget cuts to pay for disaster relief. I think that was one of the most ignominious things she did, and is so typical of the difference between Nan Hayworth and me. And I hope now that there is a record of me delivering results in terms of storm relief, that people will understand the difference between us.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always great to talk to you, Congressman. And when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you about a couple of other things, okay?
You bet.